the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could. They just simply cannot. They are, it's an impossible. In fact, not only can the talk shows not go there, but a lot of times the whole broadcasting industry is in the dust.
Well said.
Thank you. Now, this hour we have R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We're going to talk very briefly, and I know we had an awful lot of calls on our Obama health care issue, and certainly we will be discussing that in forthcoming shows. But we are going to, as they say, shift gears here and talk a little bit about the death penalty with R.C. Collins. Now, I want to remind you that our website is philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to thousands of hours of archived material. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, well, thousands of hours going back over a decade of full radio shows. And now that our archive is complete, I'm very happy to report, I think maybe we have, do we have like 1 or 2 months?
Yeah, I think we got like 2,000.
Well, there's 1 month in the year 2000 that needs to be filled in. Now that our archives are complete, we're going to begin working on logging all of this. We have done something that I don't think any other radio show has ever done. We have absolutely archived every single solitary show for 13, 14 years. So that's a long time. It's there on our website. We also have our video archive, which we are going to begin to fill out a little bit. Right now we have a 5-day video archive. We have our shop where you can go and pick up souvenirs and Phil Hendry merchandise. We have other archive material, character bits, television appearances, interviews that we've done. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you will have access to all that. So why not? Why not get one? Tomorrow is episode 12 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. It's a great way to be introduced, by the way, to those archives. Just listen to the free Phil Hendry podcast. You can download it from just follow the banner on our homepage. It's available on Podcast Directory. It's available out there on Stitcher. It's available out there on iTunes. It's everywhere, baby. The free Phil Hendry podcast. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and I think we still have that Boston line open, Bob, if you can just close that off. R.C. Collins joining us now from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. R.C. is a junior cadet there and has been at Bradley Military Academy since his freshman year. With a eventual goal of going to West Point and becoming, obviously, a commissioned officer. And then, R.C., you're talking about going to Fort Benning?
Yes, sir. The first goal would be for me to go to Fort Bragg, which is...
Fort Bragg, I'm sorry, that's in North Carolina?
Yeah, that's in North Carolina to be in the airborne. So that's really, I mean, everybody that goes in the Army these days... There really is only one. There's really only one unit that you want to be a part of, because in a lot of ways, if you know anything about the military, you want to be in a unit that's, as we like to say in the military, you know, that's real. That's for real heartbreakers, you know. And I don't think that there's more of a bunch of heartbreakers than airborne, 101st Airborne, and they've got the legendary status, you know.
Yeah, they're very well known. Is that the Screaming Eagles?
Yes, sir. That's the Screaming Eagles, and they was in northern Iraq in the beginning of the Iraq War, and they was in Afghanistan, and they was also in Vietnam on the movie, if you saw it, Hill 875.
Well, I know the one you're talking about. That was Doc Toe.
Well, I don't know.
That was the Battle of Doc Toe, and Hill 875 was a major hill that was U.S. Airborne. So I know what you're talking about. R.C., you wanted to talk a little bit about death penalty?
Yes, sir, because I am currently dating a young lady that I've talked with about the death penalty. I'm ready to go to war for my country, and I am ready to kill the enemy of America, whoever it is. Doesn't make no never mind to me, you know. They're just one dumbass after the next, as far as I'm concerned, if they're going to take on my country. But I have been talking recently to a young lady that I've been dating from the girls' school, which is Mount Vernon School down the road from us. It's an all girls high school.
Okay.
And she's been talking to me about a death penalty and that it's wrong to take a life just to make sure that the guy, you know, if he's a murderer or whatever, you can put him in prison and it'll do just as much good, you know?
Okay.
But the thing that has caused me confusion, being, you know, someone who eventually does want to be in the U.S. Army, and like I said, I want to be with nothing but heartbreakers like the 101st. If the death penalty is wrong, then killing Osama bin Laden doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? And I've been wrestling with that.
If the death penalty is wrong, killing Osama bin Laden doesn't make any sense.
Yes, sir. And I've been wrestling with that because this young lady, her name is Marguerite.
Okay.
She said that we could have... well, I asked her about bin Laden, and she said the death penalty was wrong, so we never should have done it. And
We never should have killed bin Laden.
According to her, yes, sir. It makes some sense to me, because if it's wrong, then who am I to say to take another life, you know?
Now, let's slow down. Let's just stop here for a minute.
Okay.
You want to be a soldier.
Well, yeah, and believe me when I tell you, Mr. Hendry, it's not because I'm scared of killing nobody, because that just doesn't factor into the equation, okay? I've factored that in, and... it doesn't factor into the equation.
All right, no, I understand that. But as a soldier, if you're told to go and kill bin Laden, regardless of what you think about the death penalty, are you going to go?
Well, but see, doesn't that come under the heading of my belief system? They probably wouldn't ask me to go.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. You know?
But if they knew that I was against the death penalty.
But wait a minute, this is not the death penalty. First of all, I am in favor of the death penalty, so I don't have a moral confusion here. I think I understand your moral confusion. You're saying if the death penalty is bad, which you now think it is...
Yes, sir. I'm pretty well convinced it is.
All right. You are now applying that standard that you have for the death penalty, you're applying it across the board to any and all, actions that our country may take in terminating human life to defend the country. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, because I don't see no difference if you're going to take...
Okay, no, hold on. I just want to make sure. I understand what you're saying, because, killing somebody in lethal injection or killing a guy in Afghanistan, what the hell's the difference? It's the death penalty. Is that it?
Yes, sir, that's it. But, I mean, I want you to know that I'm very patriotic, too. I mean, you're making it sound like I don't have... I mean, this is not a question, Mr. Henry, of whether I got the guts to go out and break a few hearts, you know? I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, you know?
Well, I mean, hold on, because it doesn't sound to me like you are if you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, but the death penalty, I'm against that, you know?
No, Mr. Henry, no, you're all wrong there. I am ready to go to war and do everything that is going to be done. And
except kill bin Laden. Maybe except kill anybody.
No, well, what I'm saying is, if the death penalty is bad, like what I think it is, then I don't believe in no death penalty. And then, yeah, you're right. I'd have to say, no, I can't kill nobody. But there's also, Mr. Henry, you can go to war and take up arms against the enemy and not kill them so much as you're just gunning them down and to keep them from going and attack or, you know, taking over something.
You know, you might ask your instructors there at the military academy or other army guys.
And one more thing, Mr. Henry.
What?
You can take prisoners of war too, like as you know.
Yes, I do. But hold on, I would suggest you ask your instructors there. What do they think of the strategy of just gunning somebody down without killing them or taking prisoners? What do they think of that?
Well, I mean, I think you need to be in the military academy that I'm in to understand
No, you may be right. Maybe I do need to be in your military academy to understand all the tactics and all of the strategies and all of the plans that are put forth in your classes, because I understand that that's what war colleges do. But I'm just saying, you might want to pose that to your instructors. What about we go to war and we not kill anybody, we just wound them? See, I ain't getting this one, man. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the death penalty and his aversion. Even as a soldier, he is against the death penalty, and so therefore he believes he has to be against killing other soldiers in wartime. It's the same principle that is terminating the life of an enemy of the country. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back with R.C. Collins and your phone calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You'll get any phone calls. Yeah,
don't worry about it, okay?
Well, that's
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Tell me what they're going to do about it.
All right, well, hold on for a minute. We'll talk about it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you are a soldier in the United States Army, but you are personally opposed to the death penalty, does that mean that you, therefore, in good conscience, can't kill anybody? That's what we're talking about here with R.C. Collins. And you came to this point of view because of a young lady you met.
Yes, sir.
And what was her name?
Because I don't believe, Mr. Henry, that, I mean, I'm not saying...
No, hold on. What was the name of the young lady?
Her name's Marguerite.
Okay, Marguerite, and you had this long talk, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir. I dated her, and I'd seen her at the Commandant's Ball, and we had gone out, and she's very beautiful and everything, but, you know, I mean, as a member of the military, I mean... You pretty much got the pick of the litter anyway, you know. And so I was going to blow her off. She's hot, but, you know, I was going to blow her off and just play the field and everything.
Okay, that's fine. But you got to know her and you've been dating her.
Yes, sir. And anyway, I started going out with her, and she's against the death penalty. We talked about it. So for me, that means if I'm against the death penalty, well, then I can't go like when they killed Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and so as a member of the military, you think you're going to say to a commanding officer, I can't go and do that, sir. I'm against the death penalty.
Well, I think if you tell the commanding officer ahead of time that you have that you've adjusted your views and that he needs to probably factor it in, you know? Then they'll factor that in.
What are they going to factor in, man, that you are against the death penalty?
Well, Mr. Henry, I know you don't know a lot about a military, and they'll factor in that I'm against the death penalty, and then they factor that in.
And then they say, well, we can't send RC.
We won't send out, Collins because of that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me just get to a phone call here, because I got more questions for you. Darwin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins.
Hey, thank you very much, man.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell that young man straight up, if he is against killing people, he needs to get out of the military. I was only an Army reservist for 6 years here in Colorado, and was through the 80s. And I did my part, and I was ready to go die and do whatever it took, young man. But if you have a problem with killing someone, you should not be in the military, and you damn well don't let a little girl control your situation if you're a warrior.
Well, but I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country. Don't make any mistake about that. I'm going to go out and break some hearts.
Drop the drama about eating your guts and all that crap, young man. It's straight up. You know, step away from the pipe. I don't know what you're doing or what you're on right now, but you're talking a bunch of jumbo. And you know,
about
when you step up and you sign that paper, you're prepared to go to war and do whatever it takes. No la-ti-da, and you don't let nobody else control that situation. You sign your name, excuse me. You sign your name to protect your country, no matter what it takes. It's an eye for an eye, young man.
Exactly, and I'm ready to go out.
I did my.
Wait a second. I want to do it, but what about my rights to not believe in a death penalty?
Well, if you just like believe in it, you got your rights. Yes, sir, you got your rights. And if you do not believe in the death penalty, you damn well shouldn't be in the military.
Two more.
What is
that noise I'm hearing?
There's
like, if somebody killed someone here on the street in my town, should die. I think anybody that harms anyone else has the right to be killed. You know,
I think they definitely need to be.
When you're fighting to protect someone is one thing, but if you're out there killing people to make you look better, then you need to knock it off.
Well, wait a second.
You're not. Bin Laden and all that crap, they weren't out there to protect our nation. So that's a whole different ballgame than what you're trying to pull on us. So, you know, just knock it off.
I'm not trying to pull nothing. I'm trying to support the country and be a warrior on account of what Joel said.
Fine.
Ain't you ever met a pretty girl?
That's it. Bin Laden had to go down. He killed thousands and thousands of people. He had to be taken out to protect our country.
Well, let me jump in here, Darwin. You say that he has to be taken down. Hold on, Darwin, because I want to jump in because I agree with what you're saying. And you just said, RC, you agree with Darwin.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, then how can you say you're not going to go and kill Bin Laden?
Because there's other things you could do. You could take him into custody.
Take him into custody?
When you get out of military school and you actually have to get out there with loaded ammo and protect yourself and your soldiers, your friends,
I hear
the people that are
around
you.
I'm ready for it.
When somebody's shooting at your ass, you're going to shoot back.
Uh-huh.
And that man did not want to do anything but kill or be killed.
Right. And what do you mean you're good to go?
I'm good to go. I hear everything the man's saying. And
you ain't good to go. You're not good to go if they say you got to go kill Bin Laden, and you ain't good to go.
I am good to go except for that.
And you were letting a little girl control you a while ago when this conversation started.
Because
she said one thing. You need to get your head out of your butt, brother. There's only two ways to deal with being a soldier. You either get out there and take care of business, or you drop out and run home to mommy.
Well, I'm not. I want to go, but you got to understand. This girl was talking to me about it, and it made sense what she was saying. She was talking about Bin Laden.
What's that noise I'm hearing?
What?
What is the noise?
It's a blender.
I'm sitting in my truck with no.
It's not you, Darwin. It's a what?
It's a blender.
A blender. What are you guys doing? You making margaritas or something?
We're having a refreshment. Yeah,
I rest it's my case. Step away from the whatever.
No kidding. The blender. Yeah.
We're having a situation.
You're having a situation. All right. Listen, Darwin. Thanks very much, sir. Good words of wisdom there from a man who has walked down that walk. 877-876 Phil.
Well, wait a second, Mr. Henry. I think something need to be said right now about that. I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything, but that man said, if I'm not mistaken, I heard the man say that he was Army Reserve. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, you heard that right.
Well, okay, I mean...
You mean what?
Well, Army Reserve, that's kind of... Like on the weekend, you go and...
No, that's Army Reserve. First of all, he was in the Army. Then he was in Army Reserve. You have to be in the Army.
Well, I don't know about that. He said he was Army Reserve.
You can't be in the Army Reserve unless you first spent time in the U.S. Army. Okay?
Well, but what I mean is the Army Reserve guys, it's not really being in the Army. And
all right, hold on, because I don't think you understand. And being in a military academy, that surprised me. 877-876-7445. If you're a soldier, but you don't believe in the death penalty, would you have gone out to kill bin Laden? That's what we're talking about, at least with this young man, R.C. Collins of the Bradley Military Academy. We'll be back here, 877-87... What is our number? 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and our news and information hour is coming up. Don't forget episode 12 of the free Phil Henry podcast debuting tomorrow on most of your podcast places, podcast directory, iTunes, or you can go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and access it. We recommend that, in fact, accessing it right through that banner, and you'll get to our podcast lickety split. With us on the line here is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We're going to get to some more phone calls. You just said something, R.C. And we're talking here about the death penalty and whether you're going to kill bin Laden. And there's a lot of moral... And the girl that you made a point, you know?
Well, I mean, her name is Marguerite, Mr. Henry. I don't want to disrespect her or have nobody talking about her like she's a piece of meat, you know?
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm wondering how this factors in.
Well, I mean, she's very beautiful, and I do want to someday... You know, I'm hoping that I can have to be able to be, to spend the night, okay? I'm not trying to be disrespectful of her, but if to spend the night with her and everything, and I hope to do that. And
okay, so you hope to do that. So does that have anything to do with you embracing her viewpoint on the death penalty?
No, Mr. Henry, I'm way ahead of you on that one. Mr. Henry, I'm pretty squared away on that. I know what it takes, man. I'm squared away, and
well, what does that mean? This girl is so beautiful. You want to get with her, spend the night with her, however you want to put it. So you're adopting her point of view.
No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying that in order for me to get the right perspective on it, I mean, I want to do talk to warriors, and I'm not trying to disrespect no National Guard guys or Army Reserve guys, but do they have what it takes, you know?
Do you have what it takes, man? That's what we're asking here. Do you have what it takes?
Why are you asking that?
Because you're a guy who is against the death penalty, which means I may not want to go and kill bin Laden. And now what you're telling me, a lot of that has to do with this girl, Marguerite.
Please, Mr. Henry, don't disrespect her. I'm not disrespecting anything that you're banging right now.
Excuse me, young man. Watch your language.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, watch your language and the way you refer to whatever is going on in my life. I guarantee you don't know.
I apologize, sir.
877-876-7445. We're going to go to a phone call here. On the line with us is Mickey. Hi, Mickey. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, R.C.? Hey, I'm gonna tell that young man one thing. I was on active duty with the 8th Infantry Division during the first Gulf War, and then again with a National Guard unit. I served in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, and him thinking that he can go tell his company commander that, oh, because I don't believe in the death penalty, I can't go do a certain job. That's wrong, because when he goes and tells his company commander that, and he's given the order or a direct order to go do his job, if he disobeys it, then he falls under a conscientious objector and would be put out of the military.
Well, I mean, I understand that, sir, but don't you think that the company commander would know ahead of time which guys he'll send out?
No, it don't work that way. Orders come down from top brass that this unit, whether it be the 101st or whatever, you're on a list to go overseas for rotation. If you deny or disobey going over there, then you would be placed under charges.
But I mean, were you in the 101st? Did you go in the 101st? Because you probably know what they did.
No, this gentleman said...
I was with the 8th Infantry Division, and I also fell under a unit over there with 1st CONSCOM.
Well, wait a second. Did you say you was in the National Guard? Everybody knows those guys just hang around on the weekend.
See, that's where you're wrong. That's where
you're wrong.
Your national, the National Guard and the Army Reserve is not a just a weekend deal. Rotation area force. All we do is rotate back and forth overseas, relieving active duty. I was also under the 8th Infantry Division. If you know anything about the military on active duty, part of the 90s.
I studied up on it and everything. Hey,
okay.
I got a joke for you. What if the guy said it's time for you to go to Iraq and you go, rotate?
Hey, we're not telling jokes right now, okay?
What kind of joke? That's not a joke.
We're not telling.
Well, you know, sit on it and rotate.
We're not telling jokes right now. We're talking about you, pal. You want to go in the military. You eat your own guts. You're the guy that said this stuff.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's military talk that I'm not sure you
understand. Eat your own guts is not military talk. That's something you're getting from your little Yahoo buddies there at your little academy. You got to stop and think. You're sitting there talking about the National Guard. Oh, they only do this stuff on the weekend. Seems like you're the one that's in school not doing nothing. But once you get with 100
right now, we're studying battle plans, sir.
Fort Bragg. I have been at Fort Bragg. You go up there and tell the company commander at Fort Bragg that I don't believe in the death penalty. I can't go do my job in Iraq. They're going to kick you out of the military, plain and simple. And officer, are you going to tell your guys that, the company commander give us a job, we have to go down to this place here in Iraq and defend this little village, but if any of the enemy pops up, don't kill them. We'll just take them hostage. Well, when bullets are flying,
exactly.
You don't think about that. You kill, it's either kill or be killed when you're in a combat situation.
Well, what I was going to say, sir, is that I don't mean to disrespect you or anything, but see, in the military academy that I'm in right now, we're studying battle plans of a great many of the different, you know, wars and everything. Like right now, we studied Chancellorsville, which was a Civil War one. And
Civil War. Oh, boy.
Well, it's important to study the battle plans, even though I know that there's different equipment.
It's important to study the battle plans.
He's talking about practical.
He don't believe.
How are you
going to
be?
Because of what his girlfriend said.
Well, I mean, she made me feel different about it.
You just got done saying you want to sleep with her.
I want to ask you something. If a guy coming down the street is a known thug, you and your girlfriend there, he gets ticked off because he don't like the way she looks and he kills her, are you just going to walk up and shake his hand or say, that's okay, I don't believe in the death penalty, you're all right?
In the battle plans that we're studying right now...
What battle plan are you studying that's going to help you protect your girlfriend?
What?
What battle plan are you... This gentleman just said the girlfriend's attacked on a street. You going to kill the guy? What are you going to do?
Well, in that case, I'm taking care of business.
Okay.
You're killing him.
How can you believe that the death penalty is wrong when you yourself just said... If your girlfriend got attacked, you're going to take care of business.
Killing a guy. That doesn't mean killing a guy.
Okay. Yes, it does.
I'll tell you what. If me and my wife's walking down the road and a guy attacks my wife, I'm going to put my military training to use and I'm going to do everything in my power to kill that man. To keep him from killing my wife.
I'm going to take care of business. That's the difference.
What do you mean by take care of business?
Take the guy down and zip tie him.
Okay. Listen, Mike, very good call, sir. I appreciate your call very much. You're going to have to move on here. Our number 877-876-7445. I got to tell you something, Marcy. What we're hearing here.
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, I can hear you laughing and people, and that guy is asking me questions that are he's talking about it from the perspective of a National Guardsman, and what's that mean? He's sitting working on a Jeep? No.
No, he just got done telling you that he went to the Iraq War. He went to the Iraq Theater as a National Guardsman, as well as a member of the United States Army. Okay?
Well, yeah, but when he went to Iraq, the only thing they have National Guards people do on a most of the time is either work on the motor pool or, like, unloading crates and stuff from, like, the barges that pull in down the river. And
well, you know what? You're saying a whole lot of crap that sounds like it's right out of Mark Twain. I don't know what you're talking about. You know
what?
What do you mean that they're unloading barges down the river? What is that?
I'm talking about, Mr. Henry, anybody knows that the National Guard.
You know, everything you're saying is disrespecting the National Guard. You know that.
No, sir, it's not.
Yes, it is. You're saying all they're doing is working in a motor pool, and they're unloading barges. And, you know, and it's just like you said, that the Coast Guard, all they do is teach people how to inflate inner tubes. I can't believe you, man. What are they teaching you?
I told you, right now we're learning battle plans, Chancellorsville, but also, and the other guy didn't listen, we're learning the battle plan of Belleau Woods of the First World War. And another thing we're learning about is the is the airborne operation marketplace.
Market Garden.
Yeah, Market Garden of World War One or World War Two. I don't know which one.
World War Two. I know more about it than you, and I'm not in military school.
Well, you were in military school.
No, I never was in military school. Never. Never was I in military school.
Well, I doubt that, Mr. Henry. You're pretty convert. I mean, how do you know about the Market Garden?
I was never in military. I read history. Okay, listen, hold on. We got to take a break. 877-876-7445. So you guys in the National Guard and in the Army Reserve, you'd be interested to know that all you guys do is work in the motor pool and unload barges that come down the river. R.C. Collins with us. It's incredible. And this kid's in a military academy. On top of everything else, he doesn't believe in the death penalty because he's been having these conversations with his girlfriend, and so he doesn't know how he could kill bin Laden if bin Laden were still alive. Thank God bin Laden was taken care of by guys that didn't have the same problem. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back with more right after this.
Truth is our bitch.
The
Phil Henry Show.
Fine.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here. We got our News and Information Hour coming up on the world famous Phil Henry Show. After the show, you can check the homepage of philhenryshow.com and you'll see our show log that tells you everything that happened in the show. You can also check back back pages to see other shows, other show logs. You can see right on the right-hand side the five-day archive. That's where all of our podcasts, the immediate podcasts, go. And then, of course, we have an archive of all the shows. And you'll also see a video archive there as well at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins is on the line with us. Time to go back to a phone call. And we have Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins. Eric, you were a Marine, correct, sir?
Yeah, I was Marine Corps. I was 2-5
okay.
At the company in Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay.
And
okay.
My deal is, if I'm sitting there and my buddy's getting attacked, I'm not going to sit back and watch him. Like, man, I can't help you because I don't want to kill this guy because I don't believe in death penalty, buddy. I'm just going to watch you get stabbed or shot or blown up.
I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, you know, I'm going to take him down.
Take him down?
Yeah.
Now, take him down. I mean, are you going to restrain him? I mean, what are you going to do? Because to me, in the Marine Corps, we thought, hey, one shot, one kill. Hey, two in the chest, one in the head, buddy. That's how it's supposed to be whenever you're in war.
Well, I ain't talking about being, you know, like a lot of guys in the Marines, that's all they, I mean, I'm talking Army, which is, you know, doing a battle plan and stuff.
Huh?
So what's your MOS going to be in the Army? I mean, what's your MOS going to be?
Well, what do you mean?
The MOS is a job that you're taking while you're in the Army.
Well, I want to be I'm going to be an officer in the infantry, but I do want to be airborne.
You want to be fine. You want to be airborne.
Now, if your subordinates find out that you're an officer going in and that you don't believe in death penalty, they're not going to want you to go into war with them. They don't want you having their back.
Well, they've got to do what I tell them to do because I'm the officer.
But this man said, that's a very good point, Eric. You got men that are serving under you, and you don't believe in killing people? The morale is going to be horrible. You're going to have a mutiny on your hands.
Exactly.
What do you mean a mutiny?
They're not going to want to do what you tell them to do.
Well, then I'm going to have to put my boot to some rear ends, won't I?
The respect there is not going to... There's not going to be any respect there for you, buddy. Because we had brass come in that had no ribbons. I had more ribbons than the brass did. We didn't have respect for them because they came from an academy like you did. And it's because, hey, I come in, I'm a boot. You're a boot just like they are. I was a lance corporal, and we had a second lieutenant come in. He had no ribbons. He shot marksman. I mean, it's and then if I found out he didn't believe in death penalty, then that was, man, there's already a lot of things going against you there. So,
but I mean, what academy did he go to? I didn't think the Marine Corps had an academy like West Point or something.
No, well, he went to college.
Navy.
He did, and then came in.
Went to college.
And then came into the infantry.
The Naval Academy, too. Don't the Marines come out of the Naval Academy? Maybe not.
Are you kidding, Mr. Henry? The Navy. Ha, 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 ha. There's no Marines come out of that.
All right, fine. I don't know what I'm talking about. But Eric made a very good point. They want to see an officer that's had experience or at least inspires confidence in them and knows what he's doing and wants to do what soldiers are supposed to do, which is kill the enemy. When you talk about not killing anybody, what are you talking about?
I'm only trying to say, what do you do when you've got a pretty fair piece of ass? Well, I shouldn't have said.
Don't watch the piece of ass stuff, okay? Are you telling me that you're against the death penalty because the girl you're with is hot?
Are you trying to tell me that you wouldn't take that into consideration? Come on!
I'm saying something, man. I'm married.
What
I have
an
a wife.
Idiot.
My wife told me, oh, well, go to Iraq, but don't kill anybody. Man, I would. It's either them or me, and it's not going to be me, buddy. I'll let you know that right now.
Would your girlfriend want you to go to war and stand there while another guy killed you and you didn't kill him?
Marguerite is she's a pacifist. So
yeah, that's great, man. That's a great girlfriend for you to have. Listen, Eric, thank you very much. Thanks for your service to the country. Appreciate having you on the line here. 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm not saying that I'm totally convinced of it. I'm trying to figure it out.
Go ahead, Mike.
Just going a little further on to his National Guard stuff. I was in the National Guard. Now, unfortunately, I didn't do what?
Yeah, he was in the National Guard. So you know what they did, don't you?
Yeah, you want to know what they do?
Yes, sir.
They do the same stuff as any other military.
Well, but
you still get deployed. Now, yes, when you're here in the States, yeah, you do 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. But you still get deployed. And when you get deployed, you're active duty, right in the middle of war. And you do the same thing as a regular Army guy does. You don't sit there, unload barges and work in the motor pool and all that, unless that's what your job is. If you're in infantry and stuff, you're going to do the infantry work.
Well, who unloads the barges?
What do you mean unload barges?
If that's what your job is and stuff, your MOS, as the Marine guy who was just on there was saying, that's what you do. If your MOS is in the motor pool, then you're in the motor pool. My MOS and stuff was, I was in the 301st maintenance company. I worked on the cars. I worked on tents. I did different things like that. Now, I wasn't deployed.
And you could be a pacifist, too, if you did that.
No, you couldn't, man, because they might order you to go out and fight.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You're going to have to go fight. No matter what your MOS is, pretty much, you can go fight. If it comes down to it and they need people on the battlefield, your butt's going to go.
Yeah, but think about it. What if I'm the cook? What if I'm cooking? If I'm the chef? They're not going to make me go fight.
Yeah, they might, man, if they need you to. Yeah.
If the base is under attack, if the base gets under attack that you're on, your butt's going to have a gun in your hand. You're going to be out there firing bullets instead of turning stoop.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm going to go and do it then if the base is under attack and stuff. But if I'm the chef, because America, most of the time, we're not going to have no base being under attack. We're the ones that go out and break hearts.
Oh, boy.
Sir, my job was staying in a trailer. I was in an air-conditioned trailer and stuff, sewing up tents. That was my job. That's what my MOS was. I was a seamstress. My butt got pulled out in the field and had to go on the line. So don't tell me they won't
I just can't feature that. Some guy that's in a sewing circle, the next minute you know, he's breaking hearts.
That's why you take training for it. It don't matter what.
Hey, Mike, thank you.
Everybody takes the same basic training.
You're right. Mike, thanks so much for calling, and it was great to talk with you, especially your candor about being a seamstress.
Yeah, and then he says he's out there breaking hearts and taking names? I doubt it.
Will you shut up and go to bed?
Hey, Mr. Henry, can I get an autograph?
World-famous Phil Henry Show coming up next is our News and Information Hour. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are. And that's
basically steals and voyeurism for me.
Across the state, we've traveled today. We have not.
Our children do not have, they are not tethered.
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Henry Show. And I think Keith Olbermann is a closet homosexual.
Gay as hell.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show, and where we go through the looking glass and take you, we take you a lot of places. We go places other talk shows cannot go, as we march over top of every dumb ass there is, every dumb ass that wants to pull this country backward, the liberal, the so-called progressive. So-called progressive because they actually believe they're taking this country somewhere. Sure they are. They're taking it a lot of places, man, mostly to hell. In the words of Lloyd Bonafide. Anyway, welcome to our show. This hour we have Jim Sadler joining us. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego is going to be talking about atheists, and he's with an organization called Veterans at Heart, VAH out of San Diego, Veterans at Heart. We're going to find out what that organization is about. Atheists are seeking the role of chaplain in the military. Atheists. And we're going to find out why Dr. Sadler supports this. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com. You can pick up a backstage pass. It's a lot cheaper than a six-pack, way cheaper than that pack of cigarettes that you buy every day. As a matter of fact, the cigarettes you're buying every day, or the beer, or whatever it is going to cost you more money than a backstage pass will cost you for like 6 months, maybe even a year. So check out a backstage pass, then you're online, and you can see our archives, you can see all of our podcasts, our daily podcasts, our classic Phil podcasts, and of course our live streaming video on Phil TV in HD. And I want to direct you to our shop, because the Phil Henry Show t-shirt is in, the brand new classic Phil Henry Show t-shirt. And I'm wearing on Phil TV in HD right now. I'm looking, if you're looking at the camera, you can see I'm wearing our ball caps that we're going to have for the summertime. These are a beautiful thing. Camera 3 shows you the backside of the ball cap, which, you know, when I say backside, I hope you understand. And
well, what, you're going to show something butt or something?
Who's asking you? In any event, head over to philhenryshow.com and check out the shop and all the other things that we have to offer. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jim Sadler joining us in a moment. In the military, there are more than 3,000 chaplains who minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of active duty troops, regardless of their faiths. The vast majority are Christian. A few are Jews or Muslims. One is a Buddhist. There is a Hindu chaplain. Possibly even a Wiccan may join their ranks. As a matter of fact, you might be interested to know, at the Air Force Academy, at the Air Force Academy in Colorado, there is a place of worship for Wiccan cadets. Now, strange as it sounds, an atheist chaplain is being proposed by some. Groups representing atheists and secular, so-called secular humanists, are pushing for the appointment of one of their own to the chaplaincy, hoping to give voice to what they say is a large and largely underground population of non-believers in the military. Joining the chaplain corps is part of a broader campaign by atheists to win official acceptance in the military. Such recognition would make it easier for them to raise money and meet on military bases. It would help ensure their chaplains, religious or atheists, would distribute their literature, advertise their events, advocate for them with commanders. And basically, I think what atheists are trying to do is get the same status as gay people, black people. In other words, you watch how insidious this becomes, folks. They're going to begin to compare themselves to gays. Atheists who choose this belief, choose it. They weren't born to it. In fact, if you want to know about what you're born to, what is actually ingrained in the DNA, what is actually, it could be argued, is a part of our very brain chemistry, you could argue that we are actually believers in God, given the tens of thousands of years the human species has been on this earth, and from the very beginning we believed in the supernatural, from the very beginning. So that a bunch of jive mothers are going to say, oh, all of a sudden I think I've decided that I'm not a believer in God. I think I'm going to decide I'm an atheist. Well, okay, fine. You can decide anything you want, but don't you dare put yourself in the same category as people who were born to an orientation or a color of skin or a gender or a disability or anything like that. And I'm betting money that says that's what they're going to do. Dr. Jim Sadler is going to waltz into the middle of this lion cage. And Dr. Sadler, I don't envy you. How are you this evening?
Oh, Phil, I'm very good, and I think we can agree to disagree on some things. I think I've got some things to say about what you just said.
Now, you're a part of an organization called Veterans at Heart. What is that?
Phil, Veterans at Heart is an organization of men and women who served this country. We were not in uniform. We were not soldiers. But we would have been had we been allowed to be the soldiers that we knew we could be. The fact that I was raised a believer in God, and the fact that there were chaplains that were religious, God-believing chaplains, made me feel that I had to adhere to a certain kind of ethic. And so I couldn't go in the Army, I couldn't go in the Marine Corps, I could not go into the military and serve my country the way I wanted to, which was to go and kill the enemy.
And well, wait a minute. A lot of veterans went and killed the enemy and believed in God.
They believed in God, but their kind of killing, their kind of soldiering, if you will, was based upon a limitation. And that was the limitation was a belief in God. So they couldn't really go into war and be the full, aggressive, non-discriminating, I guess you could say, cold-blooded killer that they could have been. I wanted to be a cold, and I in me is a cold-blooded killer, I feel. But because of the God chaplains, as I call them, there was always going to be a chaplain there telling me, don't, you know, love your fellow man, love your fellow man. Yes, you have to kill the enemy, but love your fellow man. So I could not be the cold-blooded killer that I felt that I could be. Other veterans at heart, other members of VAH feel the same way. That is why we have become very much...
Hold on for a minute, because you've said an awful lot there, and it sounds... I've never heard anything like this before.
What don't you understand?
What I don't understand is you saying that because there were chaplains in the military, you knew that you'd have to answer to a God, and therefore you couldn't go and kill the way you felt you could?
That's essentially true, yes. I know. Why is that so difficult to understand? I think that...
Well, it's not difficult to understand so much as I've never heard anything like that.
Well, I think, Phil, you're coming from a paradigm, and you're coming from a belief system that says that people who dodged the draft, which I did do, I dodged the Vietnam draft, were people that did not believe in war. I very much believed in war, but I couldn't. I could not go to the Vietnam War and go and, to use very unrestrained language, which I hope you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I couldn't kill the way I knew that I could. And
why do you say you couldn't kill the way... What, are you saying you wanted to violate the Geneva Convention?
Well, no, but I did want to be very aggressive. But when you've got a chaplain there who reminds you that there's a God, you suddenly pull back. At least I would. Other guys, maybe knowing that there's a chaplain who believes in God, maybe they would say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to go and kill, kill, kill. But for me, it would have affected me, and that's why I went to Canada. Not because I didn't believe in the Vietnam War.
So you, I'm going to just be clear, you dodged the draft in what year?
1970.
1970. Was that your, so that was your first year in college?
Well, I was reported to, for induction at draft. To the draft board, I reported in August. I turned 18 in August. I was classified 1A. I was then in the draft, the initial draft lottery for 19, or actually the second draft lottery for 1970, which was in the month of, I think, November, December. My number came up 4. And so...
But number 4, you were going.
I knew that I was going. And I wanted to go, but I realized they had God chaplains, and so I wouldn't be able to be the killer that I wanted to be. Now,
all right, I'm going to interrupt you here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have with us Dr. Jim Sadler, who's a man who said he dodged the draft not because he didn't believe in the Vietnam War, but because they had chaplains who would constantly remind him of the existence of God, and therefore you couldn't be the killer you knew you could be.
Yeah, so you asked me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, but I mean, the way you said that is you're saying that as if you think I'm crazy.
No, I've not used that word, sir.
Well, I heard the way you said it, and you said it very slowly. You went, you didn't think that you could be, so you think I'm an idiot.
No, I didn't say that at all, but I'm having a difficult time. And now this veteran's at heart. Are you calling yourself a veteran?
Yes, I'm calling myself a veteran at heart. A veteran at heart.
You went to Canada. You dodged the draft.
I was not a draft dodger because I didn't believe in the Vietnam War. I was a draft dodger because they wouldn't let me kill the way I wanted to.
You know, you could talk to 1,000 veterans of the Vietnam War, and I bet you they would assure you that you would have been able to kill the way you wanted to, had you been drafted or otherwise inducted into the Army or any branch of the service that you wanted to join. And what, I don't know what kind of killing you wanted to do.
I did not want to be constrained by a belief in God. And that's the part you're missing, Mr. Henry. That's the part that either you're missing on purpose because you're trying to, piss me off.
No, but you're giving a lot of cowardly excuses, sir. I don't even know that I believe that you went to Canada because you believed in the Vietnam War. It sounds like a very fancy way of saying I was against the Vietnam War, but I don't want to say that.
No, that is not true. Why would I start an organization called Veterans at Heart?
What? And this Veterans at Heart, so that means you would have been a veteran.
No, we are veterans. We're veterans at heart. We believed in the Vietnam War, but we could not go to war because of chaplains that believed in God. And those chaplains would keep reminding us of a God, and we would not be able to go out and kill, just butcher up the, I wanted to go and kill a lot of, I wanted to go and kill a lot of gooks.
And, all right, I don't want to hear that, okay? We have a lot of listeners that might be Asian descent.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, and I couldn't because of the God chaplain. Now with an atheist chaplain, understand, Mr. Henry, this is going to give the United States military many more recruits, because with an atheist chaplain, they won't have to worry about God standing there wagging a finger at them. There's going to be an atheist chaplain that will remind them that there's no God, and they can go out and just chop the enemy in half. Just kill, 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 kill. And you just keep saying the word kill for, a lot of time.
All right, 877.
Well, the pause, okay, I noted the pause.
All right, so the pause is I'm having a hard time believing what I'm hearing. 877-876-7445 is the Phil Hendry Show with a guy who claims he's a member of a group called Veterans at Heart. These are guys that would have gone to Vietnam had there not been chaplains. The chaplains, believing in God, would have reminded them that there is a God, and they wouldn't have been able to kill the enemy the way they wanted to. But with atheist chaplains, they won't have to worry about that. I think the guy's a draft dodger. He admits to being a draft dodger. He says that it wasn't because he was against the war, though. I think that's offensive to vets, and this guy's coming up with some fancy thing. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And with me is Jim Sadler. And Dr. Sadler is with the Veterans at Heart. By the way, you're a doctor of what?
I'm a doctor of psychology.
Doctor of psychology. Do you hear? All right, so you're listening to yourself, sir. And
well, Mr. Hendry, you're not a doctor of psychology.
No. But do you hear any rationalization going on here? All right, let me just say this.
No, I don't feel that I'm rationalizing anything, and I don't think that it's right of you to bring this up in that manner as a veteran at heart. And
all right, right there, the veteran at heart thing. You're not really a veteran. You're not really a veteran. You're not a combat veteran. You are a guy you claim would have been a veteran.
I would have been a veteran. I wanted to fight for my country. And if there'd been an atheist chaplain, and I would not have had to be reminded about God, I would have fought for my country, and I would have killed the enemy in the way that I knew that I could. Because we didn't have atheist chaplains, okay?
And all right, what if there were atheist chaplains right now in the military?
If there are atheist chaplains right now in the military?
Right now in the military, would you join up? Would you go fight in Afghanistan?
I'm too old, you know?
All right, but let's say you were young enough and you could go. Would you join up?
I would join up. It is a different war. It's a trick question, sir, because, number one, I have bad skin. I've got bad lungs. I can't fight in a war in a desert. I was perfect for a jungle, but I wanted to fight what makes me patriotic, and I wanted to fight for atheism, and that's not unpatriotic.
No, I asked you a question. If there were atheist chaplains, would you join now?
I would join now.
Then you would go and fight.
I would want to, but I wouldn't be able to because of eczema and because of my asthma.
And why did you not have asthma and eczema as a young man?
It was a jungle environment, so there was moisture. Well,
you know, I'm hearing a lot of excuses here.
No, you're not hearing excuses. I'm a veteran who didn't.
You're not a veteran, sir. You're not a veteran. 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call. Dwayne in Meridian, Mississippi. Go ahead, Dwayne. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
My outlook on this is simple. I mean, especially the questions you just asked. I mean, it's plain and simple. A draft dodger is all this is. I mean, you can point blank ask him a question, and he started 100 excuses of why he still wouldn't go. I mean, it doesn't make a difference.
No, sir. I would go. I would fight against Afghanistan.
Okay, then why don't you go?
I would go, but they would tell me to go home because of my eczema. Okay, and you call me a draft dodger, that, you know, to every veteran, that's a terrible thing.
And you're not a veteran.
Yes, a veteran at heart. A veteran at heart. If you wouldn't mind calling me a veteran at heart.
All right, you're not a veteran. You're a veteran at heart?
I'm a veteran at heart. And as a veteran at heart, I wanted to go to war because of the God chaplain.
No, I know why you didn't go to war. You went to Canada a lot. Did you hang out with draft dodgers up there?
Did I hang out with... What is that supposed to mean?
What, sir, during the Vietnam War, there were Americans that went to Canada who were dodging the draft. Did you know any up there?
Of course I did. It was impossible not to be a young person.
All right. Were you hanging out with those people?
When you say hanging out, are you talking about... What are you talking about? Did I have my zipper down?
What? No, I'm not talking about that.
Well, if you would mind being a little more specific...
I never made any... I said hanging out as in, were you socializing?
There was nobody else to talk to. The only other people to talk to were Canadians, and they don't share your bag. So, yes, I did.
So there you were in Canada, dodging the draft, talking to a lot of people that didn't want to fight, and you say that you wanted to fight. It's just for the fact that they had God chaplains and you couldn't kill enough. I wonder what those people would have thought about that. Here is David in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
They had no problem with it.
I doubt it.
Phil, this guy is a draft-dodging coward. He clearly avoided the war. I mean, there's not any... You don't have to speak to any chaplains if you don't want to speak to the chaplains. This guy, he's a loon.
No, but because
I don't even know why he's on your show.
Because there were chaplains, they were God. You know this chaplain. You know this chaplain. And there's talk of God. And if there was talk of God, then I have to think about being punished by God, and I would not be able to go and slaughter, you know, I don't know if you know anything about it, but...
Well, what do you know about it?
I know that I could have slaughtered the enemy, except I had to believe in God.
I'm a veteran, and nobody was going to stop...
A veteran of what? The Boy Scouts? What do you mean a veteran?
Oh, wow.
Well, how old are you?
Me? I'm 40.
40. You almost wanted to do something else, didn't you?
No, I was in Desert Storm, and I was in Somalia, sir.
Let's give this man the respect to believe him.
Well, you want me to believe him, and he sounds like he's 10. And meanwhile, I'm taking it up to you-know-what. God. I'm on your program.
All right, listen, thank you very much, David, and thank you for your service to our country. We'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
What about my service? I did not serve.
I'm not going to give you any veteran status. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show with Jim Stafford.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Dr. Jim Sadler, and Dr. Sadler is calling from San Diego. He is a doctor of psychology, but more to the point, he is a man who is advocating atheists in the chaplain service in the military. And that is, these would be men and these would be women who are atheist chaplains who can minister to or advise. I don't even know, how does that work?
How does what work?
How does an atheist chaplain work, and what does that mean?
It means you can speak to this chaplain who's an atheist, and you can get advice from an individual who's not going to be relying on religious text.
Is it the same as having a psychologist?
It's not the same as having a
So why would you need a chaplain if you got a psychologist?
Because the chaplain goes and talks. You know, Mr. Hendry, I'm here to simply say, I don't want to get sidetracked by, I'm an atheist, all right?
I'm just wondering how an atheist works as a chaplain as opposed to just going to talk to a psychologist.
I'm an atheist, and had I not been, I was kept from being a soldier by religion. I was kept from being a soldier by Christian religion. And
what about Jewish religion?
Well, I mean, what you're trying to do now is piss me off, you know. And
you know, for a psychologist, you talk not very intelligently, sir. And
no, you're trying to piss me off by saying, what about a Jew? What about a Hindu? What about? I'm saying that my... Boy, oh boy. I'm saying, Mr. Hendry...
No, I know what you're saying, that if there had not been Christian chaplains or Jewish chaplains, that there wouldn't have been any emphasis on God, and you would have been able to kill the enemy much more freely. I think you said kill, 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 slaughter them. I think you used the word slaughter. And instead, you were not able to do that, so you dodged the draft and you went to Canada. And you want me to believe that's because you love this country and wanted to fight for it, not because you didn't want to fight for it.
Not only do I want you to believe that, I demand that you believe it because it's the truth. And it's the truth. And if there are atheist chaplains, then I would have gone to war and I would have slaughtered up. You can say what you want. I would have butchered more Vietnamese. And that's why we are an organization, Veterans at Heart, where we know we would have done, and we know how we would have fought.
Yeah. All right.
What does yeah mean?
Because I think it's easy to say, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And as far as being a veteran goes, there are real veterans out there who I think would be hard-pressed not to be offended a little bit. Jason, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, and Jason's calling from Fort Knox, Kentucky. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a couple of comments for the doctor here. First of all, being that my father served three tours in Vietnam, he stood up and he fought for his country. And I myself deployed to Iraq with 4th Infantry Division, 122nd Infantry, out of Fort Hood in March of 08 to March of 09. And we were visited regularly by chaplains. And you can either believe in God or not believe in God, and you can also serve your country at the same time. I know that you say that you're an atheist. I myself am an agnostic, so I don't subscribe to any one religion, but that has nothing to do with stepping up when your country asks you to fight for it and do what needs to be done. Freedom is not free, sir. You're nothing but a coward, and you ran to Canada to get out from going and fighting.
Wait a second. I was an atheist. Wait, are you telling me I believed in God, and when you believe in God, don't you not want to kill? Yeah.
What?
It has nothing to do with whether you believe in God or not. You can still serve your country. You said at the time you believed in God. Well, if you read the Bible, the Bible says, what did Jesus say? Render unto Caesar's that which is his, and render unto God that is his as well. You can serve God, and you can serve your country at the same time.
All right. Well, I didn't have that understanding, and so I was hung up by it. And I'll tell you, had there been an atheist chaplain, I would not be hung up by the whole God thing. I could go in. Look at you. You're an agnostic. I would have gone in
and just killed me a lot. There's no such thing as an atheist chaplain. Chaplains are holy men. There's no such thing as an atheist chaplain. Chaplains aren't even allowed to carry weapons, even in combat zones.
So, sir, you're telling me that the New York Times article written by James Dale about atheists seeking a role in the military.
Atheists may be seeking a role in the military, but to be a chaplain is an asinine idea. I told you, what is an atheist going to counsel, an atheist chaplain going to counsel a soldier that a psychologist wouldn't? It sounds to me like they want more psychologists, you know.
Exactly, well, no, Bill. And we had access to both of those, even in country in Iraq. We had access to psychologists, and we had access to chaplains. And you could go to see other. It's not the chaplain didn't burst in your door and make you listen to whatever he said. It was your choice to go see him when he came to your FOB or your COP or whatever and talk to you. You didn't have to go see him. But that has nothing to do. Yeah, COP. A coalition outpost is what it stands for. Coalition outpost. But
have you heard of our group, Veterans at Heart?
Hey, I don't want you bringing that up with a real soldier.
There's no such thing as veteran at heart. If you didn't stand up and serve your country, you're not a veteran. You ran to Canada to get out of fighting.
Wait a minute.
Your little excuses about your eczema and your asthma. Okay, first of all, our company commander, he deployed to Iraq. He had psoriasis to the point where he had to have injections of medication in order to keep it under control. And me and several other of my battle buddies, we all had asthma, and we had our medications there with us in Iraq, 130 degrees, sandstorms reaching 3 miles into the air, and we still did our duty.
Well, wait a minute. Your commander had isn't that bad breath?
No.
Psoriasis.
That's psoriasis, not halitosis.
Psoriasis is a skin disorder where your immune system produces an overabundance of skin cells, which causes flaky, scabby skin on the top. And it itches,
flaky,
and it cracks, and it bleeds. It's very bad.
Yeah.
And he had
eczema is like shingles. I had shingles.
Okay.
All right, listen, are you listening to what this man is saying?
You take your cream with you, and you go fight for your country.
Take my cream?
Well, the cream that you use to treat your eczema. My son has eczema. He's 2 years old. We put a cream on it, it goes away.
You know, sir, with all due respect, you have answers that make me look like an ass at every turn, and I wonder if you're a plant by Mr. Hendry.
Do
you know,
I look like
you feel,
the ass? I wasn't
you're making me look like an ass.
That ran to Canada to get out of fighting for his country. I volunteered.
Do you know Mr. Hendry?
No, this man, I don't know this man.
I volunteered to serve my country in a time of need and to go fight our enemies abroad. You ran away.
I wanted to serve our country, but they wouldn't let me because God reminded me.
They wouldn't let you. Yeah, just like my dad wanted to serve his country. They let him.
But I believe in... Well, wait a minute.
What, all these guys believe in God, and they went to Vietnam, and they went to Iraq, and they went to these places, and they killed the enemy. And as this gentleman said, the Bible, for everyone, the Bible has an answer, and the Bible has a way to approach a problem. And for this gentleman, the quote about Jesus saying, render unto Caesar, is his way of viewing Jesus' words.
Well, to me, I hear them say, turn your cheek. Great. So I go to Vietnam and I turn my cheek.
No.
I take
then you've
I
never
take
read
a missile
the Bible,
in my...
Okay? But it doesn't matter. You're trying to distract everyone with these asinine excuses of why you couldn't go. Okay? I have asthma myself, and I can tell you that it always is worse when you're in a very humidified area. The desert's not very humidified. Your problem would have been even worse.
It would have been better. In Vietnam, it would have been worse.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. I believe that I have even worse skin than your son. So
right now,
you know
right
something,
now,
man,
the
you
only
got a lot
problem
of bull
that
crap
I can
excuses.
See is that you are a coward and you have a problem with a lot of poop coming out of your mouth.
I'm allergic to dust.
You're
and
allergic to dust, you're allergic to air,
yes,
you're allergic to peanuts.
You've got a lot of excuses, you know.
That's what you are.
No,
you're
sir,
allergic
I
to fighting.
I would have killed
Vietnam.
You wouldn't. They would have given me the Congressional Medal of Honor had I been...
You know what? I'm going to stop you right there. Thank you very much. Good call, sir.
The Congressional Medal of Honor? Are you kidding
me? Yeah, no kidding.
That is the highest award given to soldiers that fight for their country.
I would have had been too guilty believing in God to kill... The gook?
Don't use that word. You're a civilian living in a country now that is filled with Asian Americans. I don't want to hear that word.
You called them the enemy.
No, but wasn't that...
No, not you. You weren't a soldier.
I'm a veteran at heart.
You are not a veteran. You are not a veteran.
Thank you, sir, for your call. Very good call, and thank you for serving our country, sir. 877-876-7445.
Why don't you thank me? And I guess you won't thank me for serving the country because you don't think I'm a veteran. But why do you put your lips right on the hind end of these guys?
Because these guys actually went to war and risked their lives. And as we've often said, a veteran is a guy that writes a check that's good for an amount up to and including his or her life in service to this country. And so they deserve respect. And you didn't go. A veteran at heart.
I told you I was allergic to dust. And
allergic to dust? So if you're allergic to dust, what has Vietnam got to do with it?
But Mr. Hendry, you have disrespected every veteran at heart that's listening to the program tonight. And there was a lot of men out there and women that would have been happy to go to Vietnam or to Iraq or to Afghanistan and to just, man, like if you've ever seen a flamethrower, I would have loved to have had one of them. And then you would have seen some real killing. But I didn't...
No, I wouldn't have seen no killing. You were in Canada, and that's where you were going to stay, whether you were a veteran at heart, whether you had eczema, whether you had dry skin, whether you were allergic to dust, or whether you had halitosis. Ain't that bad breath. 877-876-7445. Here is Mike in Texas. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just don't understand why he's saying he's an atheist. A true atheist believes in what he can do as an individual. If he was covering up that he's just a coward at heart and he didn't want to go fight with his fellow countrymen, just admit it. Quit making all these excuses.
I will not admit to something that I am saying. If I'm a... All right, I was... I was a scared. Wasn't you a scared?
If you're not scared, then there's something wrong with you. You just...
Exactly.
You're not an atheist.
Exactly.
And you're hiding behind religion. You're hiding behind everything. I served 21 years as a full-blooded atheist. I never went to a chaplain once. I never went to one service. I believed in what my abilities would do and my training, just like every other soldier did. I went out there. I did my job. I did what I was supposed to do. And you are just a coward. That's all it is. And you're not even an atheist.
What about, okay, you say you're an atheist?
Yes.
You weren't, what about God saying, okay, that's why you were a good soldier, because you were an atheist.
Well, why didn't you join up? You were an atheist.
No, I believed in God at the time.
Then why are you an atheist?
Yeah, if you're an atheist now, you can join.
Not until they get atheist chaplains, because the God chaplain keeps reminding you of God.
This gentleman was an atheist for 21 years, served this country, and it never bugged him. Did you, Mike, you just didn't go to, were there chaplains running around telling you to believe in God? What
they
was going on there with the chaplain?
It's always,
so you didn't have to go to service. Yeah.
Service. It's all volunteer military. It's not volunteer service. They don't force nothing on you. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. You're just
yeah, but you knew
they
were there.
If you're scared, they were scared. If you're too, if you're not a man enough to stand up for what you believe in and go do the right thing, don't hide behind everybody else.
I do believe in being a patriot. I do believe in carving up the enemy a new one. And God, I wish I could have done that, but they wouldn't let me.
No, you wouldn't let you. You wouldn't let you. The country would have let you.
No, because God would have reminded me of what a war criminal I was.
You're full of crap. You know that? God ain't going to remind you of nothing. And what is this allergic to dust? When did that happen?
When did it happen? It happened when I was a kid.
Oh, I see. So now you can't go to Iraq because you're allergic to dust. You didn't mention anything about dust.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. If I didn't, I talked about my asthma, right?
Yeah, your asthma, your eczema.
You're a hypochondriac. You're a hypochondriac, and you make excuses every time you turn around. There's no excuse for it.
You're disgracing every American veteran in the United States. You're disgracing all atheists by not sticking up for a fellow atheist. And
he doesn't even believe you're an atheist. I don't either. Mike, thank you very much. Great call.
You're welcome.
21 years in the United States military for that gentleman as an atheist, and he didn't have to worry about chaplains running around and telling him there's a God, and you better watch out, you better not carve the enemy a new one, or whatever the hell it was you're talking about. Good God. Is the draft-dodging guest that we have here with us, Dr. Jim Sadler, really a veteran, as he claims, or is he really a coward using atheism as an excuse? Our number is 877-876-7445. Next hour, the News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we'll be back with that. And don't forget our souvenir shop there, our merchandise store, I should say, at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And if you're looking at our stream, our live stream on Phil TV and HD, we've got our Phil Hendry Show mug. And it says there, in your Easter bonnet with Phil Hendry's mug on it. That's our coffee mug. Go and pick one of those up. It's a beauty. And we also have, as I mentioned, our brand spanking new Phil Hendry Show, all-purpose, wear-anywhere colors, a T-shirt to be exact, and we've got it in sizes up to XXX. Check it out at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Dr. Jim Sadler as we continue this discussion, and you heard what I said, sir. Draft-dodging, by any other name, you know, is still draft-dodging.
Well, I think it takes quite a pair of, you know what, Mr. Henry, to call me a draft-dodger when I've loved my country. And,
you know, you don't love your country when you come up with cornball excuses. You can say, you know,
this is not an excuse. This is, I want to kill the enemy in ways that you would not even imagine, but I couldn't because of the God chaplain. And that is my, and.
No, when you say, well, I'd go to Afghanistan, I'd go to Iraq, but I've got a dust allergy. And I have a...
asthma, ask anybody with asthma.
And I just talked to a young man who's a soldier there. You heard him. saying he had asthma. He brought his asthma medication with him, and he was able to function quite normally. Here is Issa in Indianapolis on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to listen, comment on some of the gentleman's accusations that I hear him talking about, that he's a veteran at heart. And I have a hard time accepting that, myself being a veteran, I too have asthma. And I went to the Desert Storm. I went to Somalia, and I served my country with gladness. And I actually was in a platoon with three atheists, and they were there fighting side by side with me. That's one point. Another point that I would like to make is that just because you go into the military, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to pick up a weapon and fire it. You have support staff. You have you can deliver water. You can be a medic. You can do all kind of other ways to serve your country. So, sir, I have a hard time.
But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to kill the enemy. I wanted to kill the enemy, but I couldn't because they kept throwing God at me every turn.
That you just heard veterans saying that they, God.
If you listen to you saying that you believe in God, then now you're saying that you don't believe in God. Is it really necessary? Are you really saying that you don't believe in God? Because by having the perception of God, you already know what God is about. Is it that you just don't accept God? You don't sound like a psychologist, sir.
I am a psychologist, but I have been warped by my experience in Veterans at Heart, because we get together once a week and talk about how we would have been great soldiers, but we got damaged.
You're a veteran at heart? I mean, a veteran at heart. You're not a veteran. You know, if you're saying you're a veteran at heart, by you not being a veteran and by you being a draft dodger, you have no heart.
Wait a minute. Wait just a second. Had I been allowed to serve, and that is, God, had I been allowed to...
You were allowed to serve. You just didn't choose to serve because God was with the chaplains, and that would have reminded you of God, and you couldn't butcher up a whole bunch of Vietnamese like you wanted to.
I never said...
Yeah, you did. You said you would have been hell on wheels, man, with that flamethrower. Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I would have.
If it wasn't for the fact that there's God. Now you're an atheist. Now what's hanging you up?
Because they still got chaplains. If they had atheist chaplains... forget it.
Yeah, forget it is right. And this Veterans at Heart thing, man, run this by me one more time. You guys sit around on a Friday night and do what?
I didn't say Friday night. Well, now you got a guy laughing. Now the guy's laughing at me. I hope you feel good, Mr. Henry, because I came on your program trying to get respect for Veterans at Heart.
Well, no, now you guys sit around on whatever night it is, and what do?
And we talk about how we would have kicked ass.
You talk about how you would have kicked ass, but you didn't.
No. And we got to sit there and play cards. You gonna laugh at that? That's pretty pathetic.
So why don't you talk to a bunch of veterans and thank them for the way they went over and kicked ass? You would have
because it reminds me because I wanted to do that.
You know what? Go back to your child psychology practice or your
animal behavior
or whatever.
Animal behavior. What a shock.
Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And when we say that, all we are saying is it belongs to us.
Yeah.
It is ours to do with as we will.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, fondle it.
Can't fondle it. No, we don't. What does fondle it mean?
Like if you had the truth, you would not say.
No. What do you mean, bud? What are you talking, like jail sex or something?
Well,
why don't you just clean it up a little bit, okay? It's raunchy enough the way it is. In any event, welcome to the program. 877. Do we fondle it? 877-876-7445. We're also online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. We actually figured it out.
and I hope I'm quoting Alex right, because he sent me an email last night. He said we have 4,500 shows? Is that possible? 4,500 full three-hour shows? I think that there is, I think I'm getting the number, I think I'm lowballing it. I think there's more. In our website, in our archives, 4,500 three-hour shows, and they are radio shows, folks, that are not just, it's not a talk show. This is a satire daily, well, I don't want to give it away. I mean, well, I sort of am giving it away, but the point is, it's, in other words, unlike most talk shows, it's worth listening to. All right.
Yay.
All right, so in any event, visit us there. We have a podcast that dropped today, and it features Dean Wheeler and his wife, Emerelda, as they were doing the Walk of Steel. That was, they had two electricians out at their ashram heating up that steel spike carpet that they had created to a temperature that would sear the skin right off of you, and they were going to walk over the top of this a la Tony Robbins, and do it, and show Tony how to do it, you know, show Tony what time it is. And I don't think it went too good, but that's part of episode 34 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast. You can access through the banner on our homepage. And also, tomorrow we'll have another episode of the Milwaukee Lions. It will be a download of last Sunday's preseason game at Utah. So if you missed that, and I know that we said that we weren't going to do Milwaukee Lion downloads, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said you weren't going to do that. Yeah, you're going to get people will be mad.
No, the subscribers get the games first, and they get the games as downloads right away. I'm not saying we're doing every one of them, just one. We're going to do it's a preseason game, whatever. So that'll be dropping tomorrow's episode 35 on the Free Phil Hendry podcast. We have a couple of things happening in the news. Under fire, Aiken gets help from U.S. social conservatives. And then the other story here is that the convention in Tampa, the Republican National Convention, might very well be affected by this storm that is threatening the southeast that is currently, I believe I read, where it was off the coast of Hispaniola. And
where's that?
Hispaniola is that big island that is Dominican Republic and Haiti. It's those two countries. They occupy one island.
Oh, man, it's like when you went to Antilles.
Yeah, it is. It's like the Antilles. It's like I went to the French Antilles.
You went to the boring one.
How? What do you mean I went to the boring one?
Well, everybody talks that my mom went to down to
Antilles.
Yeah, and she went to the Netherlands part.
Yeah, the Netherlands one.
What about the Netherlands one?
They are. That's where they have gold and diamonds and everything, jewelry, because the Netherlands people, the Dutch people, are very, like, They're kind of money, not money grub, but they're like just the love diamonds.
Yeah, they're almost, well, I better not say, but they have Jewish.
You shut up. What are you saying now?
I didn't say anything.
They have Jewish what?
Well, no, they're just a lot of Jewish people.
Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you guys, okay?
I didn't do anything.
Let me just explain something to you. You guys need a history lesson, both of you.
I don't know what you're going to say. I didn't do nothing.
Hold on. The Jewish people of Europe, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, millennia, not millennium, millennia, that means two, were forced into the occupations that they have because they were not allowed to do anything else. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Uh-uh.
You don't.
No.
Okay, let me explain it to you. They were not allowed to be farmers.
What do you mean they're not allowed?
They were not allowed. I mean, the laws of the day, the conventions of the day, the people of the day, the church, the church in Rome, nobody allowed Jews to do anything other than what they were allowed to do. And the things that they were allowed to do had nothing to do with farming, bricklaying, carpentry, none of the trades or the crafts or the occupations that guild members, in those days they called them guilds, didn't call them unions, called them guilds, artisan guilds, crafts guilds. No, they didn't get to do that. They had to go and do what, bud?
Well, I don't know. I guess they had to buy gold.
They became merchants.
You say that like Margaret.
I'm going to belt somebody in 5 seconds.
I'm sorry.
They became merchants. Not allowed to go out there and do that. What's left? You become a merchant. You move into the city. You sell stuff. You sell the fruits of another man's labors. You have to make a living. And the church, how many times have I got to explain this to you? The church, in saying to the Jews, well, you're not human. You're not human beings, so no human laws will apply to you. That's good for you, Jew, they said, because no human law, like for instance, the law against usury does not apply to you. You can charge as much interest rate as you want. There's only one problem. And the Jewish guy said, what's that, your holiness in Rome? You kick back to the church half of what you get. You understand? Now, folks, this is history. This is how it was. I don't give a damn what anybody tells you. This is the actual stuff. We don't deal in bullcrap around here. We don't deal in the revisionist view of history. We deal with it straight on, head on, man. Whatever it says, wherever it goes, what, you know, that's what we want. And this is how it was. And for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, Jewish people had to find a way to make a living outside of the other occupations that were denied them. And so they got into being merchants, and they got into banking, and they got into money lending. They got into the purchasing of anything that would make them money. And what do you suppose you could buy that would make you money? Bud?
I guess diamonds.
Yes, you could buy diamonds. You could buy a lot of stuff, but one of the things would be precious stones. Now, they found their way to Amsterdam because, as it turns out, Holland, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, was a country that was friendly to the Jewish people. They weren't a bunch of scumbags kicking their asses out of every neighborhood they went into. They embraced the Jewish people. In World War II, the Dutch workers went on strike. Can you imagine going on strike against the Nazis? You know what that got them? It got a whole bunch of them killed. But they did it anyway because they were protesting their Jewish neighbors being taken off the concentration camps. The Netherlands. It's one of the countries in World War II that actually embraced the American soldiers that came in and the British soldiers, the Canadian soldiers, said, thank you. The French, they were, you know, in Paris, they dug us. But outside of town, where life was just a beautiful thing, here comes these stupid Yanks and their tanks. What the hell do you guys think you're doing? Well, there's a bunch of Nazis that we have. Well, get your ass out of here. Keep going, man. I got a nice life here with these krauts. Well, the Dutch treated the Jewish people well. So when you say to me, yeah, well, they probably have diamonds and stuff, just watch what you're saying, okay?
Well, I didn't know.
Well, now you do, man. And I don't know how many times I got to tell your ass this stuff, okay? Look at this. We got to take a break, you know. Anyway, I'm not angry, folks. It's just that Bud...
Yeah, that's right. It's always me.
If you want to talk like a dumbass, yeah, it's always going to be you. Do you want to be dumbass of the day?
No.
Then don't talk like one, man. Don't talk like a dumbass.
Well, yeah, you dumbass of the day, man. I'm going to have a hat made up for you.
Yeah, well, make one up for yourself, too, Robert.
What?
You didn't know any more about what I was talking about than he did. All right, folks. Where was I?
Talking about Spanola or something.
No, I know what we were talking about. The French Netherlands.
Yeah, that was that. They were talking about the Netherlands and the Jews that have the diamonds. I mean, the Jewish people.
There you go. All right, well, we'll get into that later. We have to take a break, and we're also going to be talking about the storm that's heading to Tampa. How the hell we ever get... What is it with you guys, man? I'm talking about a storm heading to Tampa, and we get into how the Jews of Amsterdam survived. What? The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Got a couple of phone lines open and all that. I think we have Lloyd Bonafide calling in a moment as well. And more news on Todd Akin and the social conservatives that are coming to his rescue. And that's fantastic, sir. That's great. You guys aren't going to win the White House, you realize. But hey, you just be true to your school, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. You did.
His first air cap.
Yeah, I'm about to talk about the one in Vietnam.
All right, fine. Just, you know, I don't know the one in Vietnam. Are you talking about Apocalypse Now? Our engineer, Dan Northcraft, was with the first air cavalry in the United States Army. And, Bud, you're impressed with that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What's your problem, Robert?
Well, no, I'm not saying I'm not impressed. What, the one in Vietnam, that Robert Dole in that movie, he go,
Robert, what do you mean Robert Dole?
Yeah, Robert Dole said, I like the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
It wasn't Robert Dole, that was Robert Duvall.
No, Robert Dole is the one that has no arms, right?
You know something, man?
Okay, I blew it.
Yeah, I think you blew it, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even a guy. You know, you're so, like, jacked up in the brain, I can't even go there with you, man. Robert Dole's the one with no arms, and he starred in Apocalypse Now. How dumb are you, man? You know?
What's the guy in Apocalypse Now?
Robert Duvall, and he's got both his arms, okay? We'll be right. Just be quiet. We'll be right back. I got myself breaking again. I got to get to the phones here. 877-876-7445. I don't know why you guys are messing around with that. Okay?
Well, just because what Dan said.
I know. So what are we talking about Vietnam for? All we were talking about was we were looking at something. Never mind. 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California. Now, Mr. Bonafide, are you planning on going to the Republican convention?
Yes, I am, Mr. Henry. I couldn't help but overhear the commentary of the young man who was there a moment ago.
Okay.
And the air cavalry were units that were converted, old cavalry units were converted to air cav. The old cavalry units were horse units. Did the young man know that?
Did you know that, Bud?
I knew about the horse unit, yeah.
Well, okay, but did you know that those air cavalry used to be the horse?
No. The ones that I'm talking about...
Yeah, these were helicopters.
I know they're helicopters now, but did you know that they were, at one time...
Did you know that they used to be horse units?
Yeah, they were horse... They had horses instead of helicopters.
Who did?
Okay, you know something?
You don't even... The guy. What we're talking about is the air cavalry used to have horses.
Oh, okay. Oh! No, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the air cavalry, what they fly helicopters.
Are you... Young man, are you listening to what I'm saying to you?
Let's move on.
No, I don't. Mr. Henry, I take this very seriously. I'm a Navy man. And I'm a Korean War veteran, but I believe that all of our military units and the branches of the United States military armed forces should be given their due respect. And I'm asking the young man directly, do you know, if you don't know, I'd be happy to explain it, do you know that the air cavalry units that we have today at one time had horses? Do you or do you not know that, sir?
I don't know it.
Well, I'm telling you that they did.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, I know when you're doing something on purpose.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
No.
If he's doing it on purpose, I am... I'm worked up so much I want to get my truck started. Warm it up in the driveway for me, will you? Evelyn, warm it up in the driveway.
You're not going to warm up any truck, and you're not going to come to anybody's house, Lloyd, all right, sir? Let's just talk about what we're going to talk about.
I'd be very happy to, but if that young man did that on purpose, go ahead and warm it up. I've asked my wife, Evelyn, to warm my truck up in the driveway, and I will go to your home, and I will do something that I will regret for the rest of my life. Unless you get him off of the phone right now.
Bud.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's all right, but I don't want to do something I'm going to regret for the rest of my life. Did you warm up the truck, Evelyn? The keys are in the... And so, Mr. Henry, thank you for having me on your program.
I just have a little request for you, Lloyd, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Can you lower the volume on the television?
Yes, sir, I'd be happy to. My wife is hard of hearing. But I will. I'm just lowering the sound here because of the radio. I'm lowering the sound, honey, because of the radio. I'm lowering the sound. Hold on. I'm lowering the sound. I'm lowering the sound so I can... Can you hold the line, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'm lowering the sound on the... Yes. Warm my truck up. Warm my truck up here.
I love my wife. She started losing her hearing a couple of years ago, and I tried to get the, I believe it's called Magical Ear. Do you know that product, Mr. Hendry?
No, I do not, sir.
Well, it's called Magical Ear, or it's called Marvelous Ear, or Ears, plural. And I asked, and I asked, and I looked, and I looked. I went into Sharper Image. As you know, they've got the great many of the products. And I said, do you have a product called Marvelous Ear or Wonderful Ear? And the woman gave me a look that will set off a lot of Korean War veterans. It's the look of, look at this old freak that I'm talking to, you know.
Look, at Lloyd, I know that life in many ways can offend you and hurt you, but I really want to get to this, to you going to Tampa.
Yes, sir, I apologize.
That's no need to apologize at all. But I understand, and you know, your wife Evelyn is. We all have these problems, and I know that you will take very good care of her.
Yes, I let me tell you something, and then I'll get to. I would lay my life down for that woman. I would lay my life down for that woman.
I know you've been married to her a long time.
Yes, I have. I met her as soon as I got back from Korea. We built a business together. We had our daughter. I've got my beautiful grandson. I've got a good life. And my wife is, I'm talking about you, honey. I'm talking about you! I'm talking about you! I'm sorry.
Do you have to talk to her that way all the time?
Sometimes, because I can't get this product that the doctor told us about. And
why doesn't the doctor... So you've been to an actual hearing doctor, right?
Yes, we have. We go to Dr. Parrott is his name. He's over here in the medical building up on Duarte Road. We got to go all the way to Arcadius, your old hometown.
Okay, well, what is he... Doesn't he know where you can get it?
Yes, he did, but I asked him what's the name of it. He said it's called Wonderful Ear. And it didn't make sense.
Wonderful? I never heard of what. I've heard of Miracle Ear.
It may be Miracle Ear. It may be Miracle Ear.
I've heard it, and I could be wrong about that, too. Bud, why don't you look that up for me?
What?
Look up Miracle. What are you doing, man?
I don't know. It was. Look. Okay, I got it. What?
What is he doing? He's looking at. He put his coat through the washing machine and he's found it balled up.
Yeah, like it got washed up, little balled up, little piece of paper.
Okay.
It's like, look at this. That's a Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Der Wiener Schnitzel what?
Wait, can I ask a question?
Hold on. For Der Wiener Schnitzel what?
It's a receipt from Wiener Schnitzel.
So?
I don't know. I don't believe I ever went there.
May I ask you a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Are you talking about Wiener Schnitzel and are you listening to me?
Yeah, yes, I am, sir. I'm asking Bud if he'd look up online where we can find Miracle Ear for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but I also heard him say he's got a balled-up receipt from Wiener Schnitzel, which... Did he do that on purpose?
What do you mean on purpose?
Well, the last fist fight I got into was at a Wiener Schnitzel here in Alhambra probably about a month ago. Is he doing it on purpose?
No, sir, I didn't know anything.
We had no idea about...
All right.
Okay, so what we're going to do, Lloyd, is this.
Well, let me continue.
No, hold on. We're going to take our break. We have a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about Tampa and you going to Tampa for the Republican convention and what you're up against in terms of the weather, okay?
Yes, sir. That was my understanding.
All right, sir. No more about anything else, though. We just don't have the time.
I certainly understand that.
But Cedar,
Bud, thank you, Lloyd. I'll put you on hold, okay?
I said that.
I'll put you on hold here, sir. Hey, Bud, when I'm talking to you, I don't want you going through your pockets looking at balled up...
Yeah, I put it in the washing machine.
I don't give a damn what you did with your coat. And your receipt from Wiener Schnitzel, what's that got to do with anything, man?
You can still read it on account it's been
Phil
to the washing
Henry.
Machine.
So what?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, welcome back to world famous Phil Hendry Show. I just noticed, bud, you had the phones on hold, so nice job there.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, you're on top of it tonight.
Yeah, the phone's on hold, man. I told you to put them up. I forgot about it, okay? We were talking about schnitzel and everything. You get me looking up the schnitzel?
I don't have you looking up schnitzel. I have you looking up Miracle Ear.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us here. We're going to talk, Lloyd, about going to Tampa for this convention, right?
Listen, this kid said he was looking up schnitzel.
We're not going to get sidetracked.
No. But I want you to, if he's just look up the menu, kid. Hey, kid.
Yes, sir.
Look up the menu and see if they have a thing called an Angus pastrami sandwich. An Angus pastrami, because the kid at the Wiener Schnitzel, the day I got into a melee, I got into a free-swinging melee in the main dining area there. The whole reason for it is this kid wouldn't shut up about the pastrami, and all I wanted was was to put it into a bun. I said, take it and stick it in a bun, and he made a crude joke.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I know where you're going, and I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about the Tampa trip, okay?
Yes, sir, but could you have that? Have the boy...
Don't call me boy.
Listen, boy, just do what I say, boy. And
don't call him boy, okay?
Well, he is a boy, isn't he?
He's 19.
I'm not black either.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I'm not saying that the only people they should call boy, if they did, which they shouldn't, would be black people.
Hey, let me
hold on for a minute. What are you talking about?
I'd have kicked your ass for looking at me the when you said that.
No, well, I'm saying you shouldn't do it.
All right, get out of here.
What?
You, get out of here.
You're a boy. You run a real loose ship there, don't you, Mr. Hendry?
Mr. Bonafide, forget about Wiener Schnitzel. I want to talk about what's going on in Tampa. Get out of here, bud.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did.
All right, on the line with me is Lloyd Bonafide. Tell me about Tampa.
Yes, sir. Look, Mr. Hendry, I didn't mean to cause... you no pain, as the song says, you know?
Sir, it's fine. Let's just talk about Tampa.
All right, sir, but I just, as the song says, you know the song that says, it's a less, what is it, Evelyn? It's a less, you know, Evelyn.
Mr. Bonafide, I got to keep going with this, okay?
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry. I'm just trying to apologize, that's all. Evelyn. Evelyn! What's the song? It's a lesson too late. Yeah, that's it. It's a lesson too late for the learning. Made of sand. It reminds me of my mother. Made of sand in the blink of an eye. My soul is turning in your hand. In your hand. Are you going away?
Are you... finished?
Yeah, sorry.
Man, this old man.
What's that?
Nothing. So, anyway.
I'm sorry, I got to thinking about the song. It's a lesson too late for the learning made of sand in the blink of an eye. My soul is turning in your hand. Are you going away with it?
Yeah, no, I know the song.
I'm trying to give you the title of it. Now I got to start all over again. It's a lesson too late.
Well, the title of it is The Last Thing on My Mind. I know the song.
The last thing on my mind. It's a lesson too late for the...
Will you get, sir, please?
Mr. Henry, you're speaking to a Korean War veteran. And I was thinking about my mother. When I... Evelyn, honey? Evelyn? Evelyn! Sing that song again, dear. Give me the melody.
Oh, come on.
If you'll indulge me, sir. Sing it again, dear. Yeah, there it is. That's, yeah. All right, dear.
Who was that?
That was my wife.
All right.
She's deaf.
I know that. All right. So anyway,
Kansas. I mean Tampa. I'm going to be going to Tampa by way of Kansas because we're going to be visiting Earl Clue, who's a friend of mine. He lives in Tampa. But we're going to go to Kansas City anyway to see him.
Where does he live?
He lives in Tampa.
Why are you going to Kansas City?
Because I'm not going to see him in Tampa. I want to see him in Kansas City. And I told him I'll meet you in Kansas City. And so that's what he's going to do. He's going to go to Kansas City.
Why are you going to Kansas City?
I'm going to Kansas. Well, you don't hear too good, do you? I said I'm going there to meet Earl Klug.
And why are you going to Kansas City to meet a man that lives in Tampa?
Because I refuse to meet this guy in Tampa. I won't have anything to do with him in Tampa. You understand? And that's for personal reasons, sir. Personal reasons, sir.
Do you have a problem with Tampa?
Obviously, I don't, because I'm going there for the Republican Convention of the Republican National Football.
The Republican National Convention.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to Tampa, so why would you say, do I have a problem with it?
Why are you meeting a guy that lives in Tampa where you're going for the Republican National Convention in Kansas City?
Because I refuse to meet a guy in a city where he cleaned me out in dice, all right? I can't even hang the phone up. I can't even do that much. Let me tell you, Mr. Henry, old age is a curse. It is a curse.
Mr. Bonafide, sir.
What? You let me talk to my daughter.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Sherry.
Sherry, how are you?
I've talked to you before, Mr. Henry. I was on your program last week. My name's Jody Wills. Sherry Wills.
Oh, yeah, you were talking with us about son. I forget what it was.
Yeah. Well, I'm Lloyd's daughter.
Oh, okay. Are you from Brooklyn?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. How is it you're from Brooklyn?
Well, I was raised by my mother. And my mother is no longer married to my dad.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't know that Lloyd was married twice. I thought that the only wife he had was the wife that he has now, Evelyn.
No, he had another wife.
All right. Can you find out what's wrong with him?
He's agitated. He's very agitated because of the Red Bulls that he's been drinking.
And he's drinking Red Bull?
Yes, Stephen. Daddy.
And he wouldn't even listen to me.
Daddy, put down the Red Bull.
It's my medicine.
See, Daddy calls it his medicine.
All right. If he can't get under control, I got to hang the phone up.
Daddy, he's going to hang up. He's going to hang up.
Give me that.
Nice talking to you, dear.
Mr. Henry, why would you hang the phone up on a man who is trying to sing a song about his mother? It's a lesson too late for the learning made of sand. In the blink of an eye, my soul is turning in your hand.
Because we're talking about the Republican Convention.
Yes, sir. You were going to say something else, though. You started out, you went beep, you know, and then you went because... So you were going to say something that was going to piss me off, weren't you?
No, I was not. I was going to get sidetracked again, and I don't want to do that. We're talking about the Republican National Convention.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
The Republican National Convention, I am traveling to with my wife, Evelyn, and we're going to go to it, and I won't be deterred by any storm, and I won't be deterred by Earl Klug, who is a lowlife that I met in the Navy, who cleaned me out of my bankroll one night playing dice in an alley behind Barker's, which was a bar in the Clearwater area back then after the Korean War. I won't go there and meet him there. I won't. He wants to go have a drink there.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry that I asked. So you're on your way to Kansas City, and then you will go from Kansas City to Tampa.
Yeah, if Earl doesn't go back to Tampa, he has to stay clear of Tampa. While I am there, he has to stay in Kansas City. I purchased him a hotel room. And
all right, I don't want to hear the whole story about your friend. And I, okay, you guys have got a thing.
What do you mean we've got a thing?
You guys have a problem or a dispute or something unresolved. So now, on your way to Tampa.
Yes, sir.
Let's stick with that. So you're going to Tampa for the Republican Convention. As you know, as you just indicated, Lloyd, a storm is on the way.
Doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me at all.
So the weather is not going to deter you in any way, shape, or form.
No, sir, and I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it isn't. It's disgraceful, and it is to me,
It is an absolute disgrace that Americans would allow a range clouds and water to keep them from doing what they want to do. And I won't let any storm, I can assure you, I won't let water vapor, water, and the movement of air keep me from my duty as an American citizen, the delegate to that convention. All right?
Well, I mean, what you just described there, Lloyd, you're right. Storms are nothing more than water vapor, water, and the movement of air. But that movement of air and water vapor and everything can really cause a problem.
What problem does that, when you say water vapor and the movement of air, what problem is that?
Flooding roads, bridges down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
Flooding roads, bridges down.
Go ahead. Give me some more, because nothing you're saying is bothering me. No storm, Mr. Henry, is going to keep me from going to that convention. I want to see Mitt Romney nominated as the Republican nominee, and nothing's going to keep me from that. You understand that, correct?
I believe you, yes, sir.
All right. No storm, because I've been in storms. I've been in tornadoes. I'm not going to stand there in Tampa and watch and have someone say to me, oh, hey, old man, you better move because we better evacuate you. If anyone says to me that they need to evacuate me, I will tell them, do you know what an evacuation looks like here? If I have to do that, I'll do that. And
what are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. If someone says to me, we need to evacuate you, I will tell them, let me tell you what an evacuation truly is. And you will hear a sound not unlike the automatic weapon that is mounted on our United States Army Black Hawk helicopters. It's the kind of a gun that has a zipper to it, a zipper sound, you know, like the old German M23. You will hear that sound, only it will be my zipper. My pants will come down.
All right, I understand what you're saying. So you will not be evacuated from the storm area?
Nothing. Nothing in this world will keep me from going to that convention.
What if the convention hall is empty because there's no one there?
I don't know what you've been smoking. I don't know what drugs you're taking.
I'm not taking any drugs, sir, if the storm is bad enough where they cannot hold a session of the convention.
I'll say it. I don't know what you're smoking. I don't know what narcotics you're taking, but I think it's a disgrace. And I know you're not really taking narcotics, but what you just said leads me to believe that I have the freedom to say you're taking narcotics, because it sounds like something a hophead would say. God, I can't breathe. Give me something to drink, will you? Get me something to drink!
All right, we're going to take a break.
All right.
Hulk.
Yeah, tell me to get out, and that old man act like an idiot.
87, the next time I tell you to do something, do it. Don't look up Der Wiener Schnitzel. Look up
Wonderful Ear.
Wonderful Ear, or not Magical Ear. I don't know. 877-876. What is this? What are you looking up here?
Angel Ear, Guardian Angel Ear, Cherub.
Cherub Ear?
I'm looking up everything that has to do with...
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Evelyn.
So what do you got?
Welcome
back. Hold on for a minute. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Okay, hold on. Welcome back, folks. We have Lloyd Bonafide on the line. He's going to be going to the Republican convention next week. We're asking you about the storm conditions, and we do have an update on the weather. Apparently, the hurricane, Lloyd, is headed toward Haiti. Where there are a lot of people still living in tents from the earthquake.
Well, yes, sir, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, but that's Haiti. You're asking me about Tampa, and in the United States of America, we have a far better chance of surviving the kind of calamity that they are expecting in Haiti, because we have more than just, unfortunately, what those poor people are left to their own devices.
I understand that, but by the same token, it's going to be a powerful storm. That's all I'm saying.
Let me read something to you, because I heard my daughter say to you that I was drinking Red Bulls from about 2 o'clock this afternoon, and that is true.
Now, you know those are highly caffeinated.
Hold on, will you? Yes, I know they're highly caffeinated. I'm an adult. And
well, no one's disputing that.
Would you hold on, please? I'm an adult male, and I don't have anything in my history that indicates that I'm not allowed to have whatever I feel like having at any given time, and so I like the Red Bull. Now, listen to this. They turn the TV down, will you? Jody or Wendy, whatever name you're going by.
My name's Wendy, Dad.
All right, then why do you call yourself Jody half the time? My daughter, there's something really weird with her. Turn it down. I don't care if your mother can't hear it. Turn it down, will you? Evelyn, don't do that anymore, all right? The other day, Red Bull Racing's running show car revved its engine to the tune of the Star-Spangled Banner, and yes, that was plenty impressive. But as the video below will show, the car sounds best at a throttle. The maximum
All right, I understand you're reading about the Red Bull car.
Yeah, the Red Bull car. And
that's an advertisement. That's a disgraceful piece in the New York Daily News, is that it?
What's disgraceful about it?
They're writing it like it's a news story. It's an advertisement for the Red Bull F1 car, okay? As a matter of fact, it is the Red Bull advertisement.
No, it's a news story.
Yeah, but it's made to look like a news story. It's a Red Bull advertisement. No one cares. All right, now.
No one cares all right now, as if you're blowing it off. Don't blow me off, all right?
All right, well, it's been nice talking to you, Lloyd.
Is that the end of the interview?
Yes, sir. If you're going to tell me how the interview's going to go, I'm not going to interview you. Now, do you want to tell me about the Republican convention?
I was trying to tell you about it.
All right, then. 877-876-7445. This guy you got into a fight with, by the way, is on the line. You want to talk to him?
Is that Dick Steelworth?
It's Mr. Steelworth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let me talk to this son of a bitch.
Hi, Mr. Steelworth. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm good.
And on the line is Lloyd Bonafide.
Hey, Lloyd.
Hey, how are you doing, Steel?
I'm good.
And what you doing?
Oh, I'm listening on the radio to you.
You're hearing me on the radio, huh?
Yeah.
And how you holding up?
Oh, I'm good. You know, I went to the doctor today.
You know, what did you find?
Nothing here, but I'm going to eat that yogurt, my daughter.
What do you get? What kind of yogurt?
It's that brown cow yogurt.
That's the yogurt you told me about, huh?
Yeah, brown cow yogurt. Got to get that. Brown cow yogurt, you know. But I'll tell you, and you know, I'm going to do more walking.
Yeah, that's good for you, going walking.
Okay. All right.
Going walking. You want to play golf?
Yeah, I'll play golf. Where are you going to go? To the 3-par?
I'm going to go to the 3-par, yeah.
Okay, I'll play golf with you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Steelworth.
Why can't we talk?
Because we're doing a show right now. All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Steelworth.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to talk to him.
Is that the guy you got into the fight with at the Wiener Schnitzel?
Yeah, him and that kid behind the counter that didn't want to give me the regular. I wanted a chili dog, or I said, let me have the dog, the chili. And I said, I want to have your regular chili dog. So they gave me something in a tray, and I said, I want to have a chili dog. And I said, you put chili on a hot dog in a bun. And they gave me this thing in a tray that was. It was just chili is what it was, and only later did I find out there was a hot dog in there.
Was there a bun, too?
I don't know. All I know is when I said I want a chili dog, they gave me a thing that had a mound of chili, and when I probed with...
Shut up, bud.
What's he laughing? I can well imagine what he's laughing at when I said the word probe. Is he still laughing?
Yeah.
Boy, the filth in the minds of kids. Anyway,
shut up, bud, will you?
You can't help it.
Probe. Yeah, you laughing? So I probed in there, and I found the bun, and I found the dog. And I said to the kid, I said, I want a chili dog. He said, that's it. I said, I got news for you. No, that ain't it. I said, will you turn that TV down, Jody, before I throw it out through a window? I'll throw it through a window. That's a promise from me to you.
I'm trying.
I don't care if your mother can't hear it. She's barely conscious now. I don't think she even knows where she is. I think there's something more wrong with my wife than just her hearing.
So I said to the guy, give me a chili dog. He gives me a ladle of chili in a paper tray, and I said, what do you call that? He said, I call that a chili dog. I said, well, guess what? You could call it Susie. You might even want to marry it, but it's not a chili dog. He said, why would I want to marry that? I said, because it's got a secret surprise underneath the chili.
All right, we're going to be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show right after these messages.
Get over the guy.
I know I hung up on him, okay? Right after these messages on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lance Armstrong, by the way, has been stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. 7
Phil Hendry.
And then they're kidding.